Radio friends, in the last two Sundays, we've looked at the truth of spiritual growth. First, we looked into 2 Peter chapter 3, 18, where we were called to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Last week, we looked at Ephesians chapter 4, the verses 14 and 15, where we were exhorted that we no longer be children, but that we grow up into Christ in all things. I'd like to bring our series of spiritual growth to their conclusion today by calling your attention to our Lord's words in John 15, the verses 1 and 5, where our Lord, again, is speaking to us on the important truth of spiritual growth. There he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." Again, verse 5, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." Here we are taught that Jesus Christ is the true vine, and we, his disciples, are branches. If we are united to him by faith, says Jesus, we will be bringing forth much fruit. In the passage, I didn't read all of the verses, Jesus goes on to explain that his heavenly Father, as the husbandman, prunes each branch. That is, he purges each branch so that it may bring forth more fruit. He cuts away the fruitless branches, and he so works that each branch in Christ brings forth more fruit. God, then, is desirous of growth. He's desirous of fruit. He's desirous of repentance in our life and holiness and a walk with God and a love for God. Are you bringing forth much fruit? Jesus says to us that the tree is not known by its leaves, but by its fruit. The child of God is not simply one, as we've stressed in the last 2 weeks, who externally takes on the trappings of a Christian life, but a child of God is one who from within, that life of Christ within them, lives into Christ and out of Christ and produces much fruit to the glory of God. Jesus says to us today, "Abide in me." We must abide in Jesus Christ because, as Jesus says, he is the true vine. And when Jesus says, "I am the true vine," he means to say to us that he's the source of all spiritual life, and only by being united to him in a true faith can we live and bear fruit. I need to talk to you a moment about the setting of our Lord's words. Our Lord in John 15 is saying his farewell to his disciples. He's going to go away from them that very night. He's going to be betrayed and arrested. And he tells them that they cannot follow him now as he goes the way of the cross, the resurrection, and the ascension. He's going to be leaving them. This fills their mind and their soul with great sadness. What had they ever been without Jesus? Out of the sight of the Lord, they were only flops. And so the Lord says, "I am the true vine." And he said that for them and for us in order that we might soak in the comfort. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm the true vine. You are united to me. You shall still have me and draw your life from me. But when he says, "I am the true vine," he also means to warn his disciples at that time and to warn us. For he knew that there would be severe dangers for his disciples that very night and in the coming days. The world would close in upon them. The devil would come to tempt some of them, and their own sinful nature would lead them astray. And so the Lord says, "You must abide in me." He says that also to us today. Abiding in Jesus Christ is not an option, it's a necessity. Abiding in Jesus Christ is not only our comfort, that we cannot be severed from him and that we through faith draw from Jesus eternal life. We do that right now by faith. But abiding in Christ is also for our warning and our calling. Abide in me. You must be rooted by faith in me as you are in this present world. And you must do this so that you bring forth fruit. In other words, the Lord is saying to us that the church is not a flower garden, but the church is an orchard. The church is not on earth simply to look nice, but the church is on earth to bring forth fruit to God. The church is a vineyard in the desert, the only place where fruit is produced to God. But this can happen only when we abide in Jesus Christ. Now, when the Lord uses that figure, he's using, of course, a very well-known figure, for there were many vineyards in Judea, and the landscape would be covered by them. He's referring to himself as the vine, or the stock with the roots, which would be planted, and which would sprout, and other branches would be grafted in to that stock and draw their life from the root, from the vine. Jesus is saying to us, now just as in the earthly sense, all of the life is in the vine, the sap is in the vine, and it flows out of the vine into the branch, so he says, I am the true vine. I sink my roots eternally into God. I am the Son of God. John says to us in John 1 verse 4, in him was life. Jesus Christ did not receive his life. He possesses life. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the vine. He is the eternal Son of God, now in our flesh. And in our flesh, he has been crucified as our Savior, and therefore he possesses all the reservoirs, all the life, all the sap of righteousness and life. He is the risen Lord. He is the living one who lives. He says, I am the true vine. And only by being united to me does a person live. When he says, I am the true vine, he also has in mind that there are many false vines. There are many who claim to do what he does. There are all types of false religions. There are many. There are those who would say to us, well, you can find life in pleasure. You can find the source of your life in your lust, or in money, or in drink, or in self, or in education. But Jesus says these are false vines. There's only one true vine. Let me make it plain. You have a branch. You take a branch off your apple tree this spring. You want that branch to grow. Well, what are you going to do? Stick it into the dry dirt? No, it won't grow there. Well, shall you graft it into your wife's broom handle? No, there's no sap in that broom handle. Well, shall you just erect it in the backyard with a cinder block, a concrete block? Will it draw its life from a concrete block? No. So also the Word of God says, you must be engrafted into the true vine if you are to live. Where are you looking for your life, for your satisfaction? It can only be found in one place, in one person, Jesus Christ, the true and eternal vine. We must be united to him. When Jesus says, I'm the true vine, he's not just giving us a piece of information, but he's telling us that we must, by God's grace, live out of him, or there's no life in us. There must be a true faith. True faith, according to Scripture, is a faith that God gives. It's something that is from God, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, the gift of God. It is something that the Holy Spirit produces in us. Faith comes from God, Ephesians 6, verse 23. Faith, then, is not simply a human emotional attachment to Jesus Christ. Faith is not simply an intellectual acquaintance with Jesus Christ, but faith is a living union that God makes between us and the Lord Jesus Christ, whereby we believe in him and through faith receive from him all things. Faith is a living reality. Let me use another example. Let's take a plastic branch. Today we can artificial trees and artificial branches, they're produced so much like the original that it's hard to tell the difference sometimes. You have to sometimes go up and feel to find out if it's a real plant or if it's a fake plant. Well, now let's say that we get an artificial grape branch or vine, and we go to an orchard, and we put that artificial branch, we hide it somewhere in the orchard. Now, could you find it? Well, if you placed it there, you could find it, but if you hadn't placed it there and someone says, now go look for it, well, it might be so well camouflaged that you'd never find it. It's plastic, it's not a living branch, but you can't find it until when? Until it comes time for fruit. And then you're going to tell that it has no life in that branch because it will have no fruit. The Lord is warning us then that we must be attached by a true and living faith. He's warning us of the artificial. He says in verse 2, every branch in me that bringeth forth not forth fruit, he taketh away. Now that doesn't mean that the child of God can fall away, that the child of God can be in Christ one day and out of Christ the next day. The Lord said in John 10, verse 27, no man takes my sheep out of my hand. But he warns us of this, that there can be the mere outward profession of Jesus Christ, a mere plastic religion. Everything looks right, but there's no living union to Jesus Christ. It's just like a plastic flower. And the difference between a real plant and a plastic plant is everything. But sometimes from the eyesight, you can't see it. Those who have a plastic religion are those who do not have a broken heart over their own personal sins. Think that sin is great only when they see it in someone else. They have no trust in Jesus Christ for righteousness. They don't know what that means because they don't know themselves as a filthy sinner. They have no desire for a life of holiness. They have no desire to know the living and the true God. In brief, we can say that the plastic religion is a life that has no repentance, no heartfelt repentance before God, for that's the gift of God, the great gift of God through the vine, Jesus Christ. What is the fruit? How do you know that you are a branch in Jesus Christ? Do you repent? That's what it means to be united to Christ. Jesus says, I'm the true vine. I'm the true vine for you. Draw your life from me. I am your life. I am the true vine. And so the Lord is calling us to exercise our faith. Abide in me, he says, and I in you. That's a call to all of us, to every child of God, whether you're an elder or a minister, a deacon, a parent, aged, teenager, boy or girl, you must abide in Christ. Maybe you say, well, how is that possible? Didn't you say that God must give us faith? God must graft us into Christ? Yes, yes. But God's grace is not mechanical. God works in us so that we desire Christ. That's the activity of faith, the power of God within us so that we draw out of Christ our life. That's a very rich and wonderful idea. Abide in Christ. Take hold of him. Depend upon him. Grow in him. Recognize just how needy you are, how sinful you are. Realize that apart from Christ, you are worthless. To abide in Christ then again means, as we have been emphasizing in these last weeks, that you are a member of a true and faithful church where you hear sermons. Sermons mined from the Scriptures, built from the Holy Scripture, explaining, expounding to you the truths of the Holy Word of God and laying that before your conscience and your heart. It means that you live a life of prayer and Bible reading. It means that you live in the fellowship of the church with other believers, that you have your children instructed by the church in catechism, There are many dangers today. There are many threats to our life of abiding in Jesus Christ. Sometimes instead of abiding in Jesus Christ, we can be defined as those who dangle in Jesus Christ. There's the threat of our pride. What an awful thing pride is. Then we can say in our pride, but I'm not like so-and-so. Look at so-and-so. I don't do that. We do the right things in the Christian faith, but it's all an outward show then. We must beware of our pride. We must beware of worldliness. Then things in this life become so important to us, more important than Christ, more important than the church. And we must beware of unconfessed sin, that too. We must beware that if we walk in sin, then we cannot abide in Christ. This is why Jesus says that the Heavenly Father purgeth every branch that abides in him, that it may bring forth more fruit. The word purge means prune, and that's a very necessary part of spiritual growth. If the branch is to grow and to bring forth fruit, it must be pruned. That's a law in every orchard. But that's also a law spiritually, and that's the reason why God sends to us chastisements and trials and difficulties. Today there's much difficulty in the church in trying to understand why Christians suffer. But the Bible is not unclear on that truth. I think the difficulty is simply that Christians become more and more attached to this present life and want to use Christianity simply to have more enjoyment of the earthly rather than realizing that Christianity is the enjoyment of Jesus Christ. And so God brings chastisements. He brings difficulties into the life of his children. It is not so. That's a heresy. That's a lie right from the devil, which says that if you have enough faith, then you'll never have any financial problems or any sicknesses or cancers. That is not the teaching of God's Word, the Bible. That's a different Christ than the Christ of the Holy Scriptures. The Bible teaches us that God sends chastisements for the same reason that a husbandman will prune the branch of his pear tree or of his apple tree. That branch needs to be pruned. The sucker branches must be cut away. And it must be pruned in order that the branch draws more sap, in order that it may bring forth more fruit to God. God will have us abide in Christ, and to do that, he comes with his divine shears, and he begins to prune in your life. Have you ever seen an old orchard? Perhaps now there's a subdivision up where the old orchard was, and one or two apple trees have been left, but these apple trees are no longer cared for by the husbandmen. They've been neglected, an old apple tree that hasn't been pruned for many years. Have you ever looked at that? Oh, there's some apples up there, but they're little, and they're pitted, and they're diseased. And the tree is filled with disease. Why? Because it hasn't been cared for. It hasn't been pruned. So also for you, child of God, what's going to happen to you if you are left for yourself? You must be pruned. We say to God, well, I want things this way. This is the way I want things. I want health. I want this. I want that. I want this job. I want this income. I don't want my husband to die. I want this home. I don't want struggles. And then the Lord doesn't give us what we want. He cuts us back. Why? In order that we might abide in the vine, Jesus Christ, that we might draw all of our life out of Christ and abide more and more in him. In order that we might bring forth much fruit. That's why God has placed us into Jesus Christ by his grace. That's why he elected us to be in Christ. That's why he bestows care upon us. That's why he prunes us with his chastisements, in order that we might bring forth much fruit. For Jesus says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit." This is what pleases God. This is why God has given His Son, Jesus Christ, in order that we, His children, might bring forth much fruit to His honor and to His glory. Fruits of repentance, fruits of faith, fruits of a holy life, fruits of good deeds, fruits of a testimony of the grace of Christ, that we bring forth much fruit. Is there fruit in your life? Are you abiding in Jesus Christ? Do you know what it is to have a broken heart? Do you trust in Christ for righteousness? Do you desire more and more to live, no longer for self, but for Him and out of Him? Jesus says, "I am the true vine, you are the branches. Abide in me, and I in you. In this way, we shall bring forth much fruit to the glory of our Father." Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee once again for Thy word. We pray that it may be a blessing unto our hearts. Give us that grace that we might abide in Him. Through Jesus' name, amen.